Hello and welcome to Hustle, a new podcast providing industry advice for women in music. Are you passionate about music and want to stop the hustle and make your dreams a reality? Then this is the podcast for you. Not only do I interview other female artists, but labels, promoters, collectives and everything in between. I also dive into the nitty-gritty business and marketing side. You can expect positive energy, motivation, a lot of laughs, and of course, inspiring guests. Hosted by myself, Eliza, the founder of Good Vibes Only Music, I'm a full-time DJ and entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. Please follow and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Peace, love, and good vibes always. So today on the podcast, we're going to be speaking to the amazing Saya. She is my ninja partner. I absolutely love this lady. Mate, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, ninja partner. I love you too.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you? How's your summer been gig-wise? What's been going on post-COVID for you?
Yeah, it's getting back to normal, which is great. And I don't need to play to people who are sitting down anymore. So I'm getting my energy back because people can actually dance here in the UK anyway. So
yeah,
definitely busier than it was. And gigging pretty much every weekend now, which is awesome. And have some new residencies. I've given up some residencies. So there's been a bit of a shakedown, I guess, with this pandemic, which is always good, I guess, to kind of review what you're doing and then renew.
Yeah, I think actually that's a good thing, because I've been telling people throughout the whole pandemic, they need to evolve, they need to think about what's important. And maybe, you know, like you've had a few changes in direction with regards to residencies and obviously you've just released your a new track. Which is kind of cool as well. I think people have had time to actually concentrate on what's important and where they want to take their music career.
Yeah, I absolutely had that. So I had some time to think what I want and what is important for me and what I love to do and how I love to do it. And even with the music, actually, yes, thank you for mentioning my new track. So I released the disco track,
which
I hope you love. And because I've been doing tech house quite a lot and, you know, kind of focused on that, especially during the first lockdown. And, it was great and everything. But then I found this new love for disco and I kind of changed direction, like you say. So
yeah.
After second lockdown, it's all about disco for me and I like it so far. So, yeah, you kind of learn a lot of things about yourself when you actually stop for a minute. Well, we were forced to stop.
Yeah.
But anyway. And then come out with something great, I hope. Yeah.
Oh, it's exciting. I love a bit of disco. I mean, and I'm really into Jack in House. And I've just like, I play a lot of tech house now as well, especially if it's like a late, late night. And then obviously a bit of drum and bass at the end. But the disco vibes, it gets everybody going.
Everybody's so happy and bouncy. And yes, I love it as well. I'm happy and bouncy with it.
So talk to me about the sit down gigs then, because we didn't really have that here in France. You could still get up and move around. And obviously being slightly like in a ski resort, we don't really have the huge nightclubs where people would have to sit down for music anyway. So that wasn't really a thing over here, but that must have been really weird because you've got so much energy and your energy makes people dance, doesn't it, normally? So how did that work?
Oh, it didn't work for me at all. I don't think it really worked for the people either. I mean, they were trying because what in the UK, so it was second, kind of not second lockdown, but in between first and second. So I went back to gigging, but the rule was that people couldn't dance. So they would have to sit down. And even the clubs where they were kind of clubs, but they had to bring tables and chairs. So people would have to sit down. And yes, there would be a DJ like myself playing. Yeah. But the energy was flat, you know, because how do you dance when you sit down? I mean, you're kind of bum shuffling or something. And it just didn't do it for me. I don't think it did it for the people, but that was the only choice, you know, that we had. So, and then, you know what, I said no when they said, well, will you come next weekend? And, you know, what have you? And I said, actually, no, I don't know. I was a little bit sad because it made me that energy that I have, you mentioned, it was gone. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to hold tight and wait until these rules are relaxed and people can dance again and I can spread that happiness and my energy and all of that. So I stopped those gigs, to be honest. And now I'm back to normal again and people can dance. So I'm really happy and I have my energy back and, you know, love DJing again.
Yeah, I think it's important. You've got to do what's right for you, haven't you? And it's, I mean, back in the day, I mean, we kind of touched on this briefly before we actually press record, didn't we? But back in the day, you'd have taken any gig, you'd have done anything just to keep getting out there and to just keep, you know, being present. But now, you know, both you and me, we're in a really nice situation where we can be picky about what we want to play, where we want to play. And, you know, if the gig's not right for us, then it's okay to say no. It's actually okay, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we paid our dues in the past few years when, like, when I started out, I was like, I need to get any gig. I want to have more visibility, awareness for, you know, my DJing and the music I play, and I want to get connected with venues, I want to get connected with the people that could book me and things like that. So yeah, I did lots more gigs that I perhaps do now, but now I'm more selective because I've built that important network around me, and I built those venues and residencies around me where I want to play, and then I get to play whatever I want to play, so I'm not forced to do anything. And it's my kind of, which is great, you know, it's my, not saying it's my rules, obviously I respect these venues who book me and I really appreciate that I can play there, but I can be more selective now than I could in the beginning. And yes, it's okay to say no, you know, we don't need to be desperate DJs.
DesperateDJs.com, I think. Yeah, that's it. I think if you've got a crowd of people that follow you around, like I'd imagine in Hertfordshire, people will come and see you anywhere you're playing because they know they like your sound, they like your energy, they like your vibe. But then if you're playing something that's not you, or you know, even could be a different genre, could be anything, or a venue that's not quite suited to your outlook, then you might lose some of your fan base, because why would they come and see you again if they're like, well, she played in this like grotty place, and oh, she played like, I don't know, she played jungle all night. That's not really our house vibes. You know, it's, yeah, you have to be true to yourself and your fans, I think, as well at the same time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because I'm a house DJ, so, you know, if I suddenly started to play jungle or R&B or hip hop, or, you know, people will get confused because this is what I built for years. I tried to build my artist profile around being house DJ, and this is what I produce as well, you know. Yeah. So everything is about house and so forth. So if I suddenly change that, then people would be confused and they would be like, well, we don't know anymore who you are or what you do.
Yeah.
You know, this is confusing. So I want to stay on that path, what I do, and like you say, stay true to myself, and that's what makes me happy. And I did play a gig where actually I was asked to play another genre that I don't play and I don't really enjoy. Like, I love music, and no offense to any genre of music, but you know, it's just not my thing. So I didn't even, I don't think it was fair on the people there either, because I didn't give out that energy that I usually do, because I wasn't really enjoying what I was doing. So I did say no to that venue, actually, and not in a bad way. I just said, I don't think I'm suited anymore because you have changed your music policy. And it's not me anymore. So there is someone better who has passion for this genre. And, you know, it's not me. So I think you just have to be really honest. And then the venues will appreciate that as well. So there's no bridges burnt or anything like that. It's just how it goes. And honesty is the best policy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and you're keeping that professional business mindset with it as well, by not burning bridges and just being like, you know, hands up. Sorry, guys, this isn't me. I mean, I can, of course. You can do it. You're just not your bag. And you don't really want to. B, it's not the vibe that you're giving off. And C, it's just not in line with your business model, which is house music, isn't it?
As
a DJ, you know, we're all business women behind the decks, basically, aren't we? So
yeah, and I love that. And this is the message we have to spread even more, because not, you know, there's so many still who doesn't think that way. And they think, oh, I should bend over backwards to, you know, take this gig or do that or do that. But you have to think, who do you want to be as an artist, and how do you want to make your business bloom because of it. So this is business. Yes, we love it. We are passionate about it, but it is a business at the same time. You invest in your skills, you invest in your equipment, you invest your time, late nights, travel, all of that stuff. Then it has to be for you. It really has to be for you, and you have to feel good about it, and you have to make some money as well.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, definitely. I think it, especially if you want, well, if anyone who's listening to this podcast, you know, if you want to take that next step in your music career from going from, say, you know, bedroom DJ or hobby DJ to then, you know, becoming a profitable entity and, you know, getting paid for gigs, then you need to change that mindset. And yeah, it is okay to be flexible. But it more important, you need to be professional if you're not going to be that flexible and not take things personally either, because that's life, isn't it?
Yeah, and just remember that you're also, yes, you're a human, and yes, we might take things personally sometimes, but you have to remember that you are a business at the same time. So it is not actually personal. When you go to a venue, you are going there as someone who is providing a service.
Yeah,
I'm not going there as, you know, myself. If I would go there as myself kind of thing, I would go there and be the punter, the one who dances all night, and I'm a customer.
Yeah.
It's different to when I'm there to be a supplier of music, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm there to do a job. Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing a job for yourself. You need to think of yourself as the, you know, you're servicing yourself as a boss. Like, you know, you're projecting, you're putting your best foot forwards, aren't you? And yeah. I think it's difficult. A lot of people don't think that way, and they and that's really important to try and get that off from the start, because people do remember you. They'll remember if you were, I don't know, if you're annoying, they'll remember if you were late, they will remember if you were rude, they'll also remember if you were, you know, white girl trashed, you know. You need to, that wouldn't be acceptable in any other type of industry.
No.
You know, and alcohol is obviously freely supplied behind the decks, as are many other things, but you don't have to be that girl. You've got to think about whether you want longevity in the industry and how this will affect, you know, because it's a small world, isn't it? Like, say you're one bar owner you deal with, he's friends with the other one around the corner, and they'll be like, oh, we saw Eliza or Sia playing last week, how did that go? And they might be like, whoa, actually, you know, she was a complete nightmare.
Big mess. This is so right. These circles are not that big when you start to think about it. All the festival organizers, club owners, I mean, they have their circle and they know each other. Like you say, they talk to each other. But then also on the flip side, because there has been a couple of occasions where, you know, I played in a lineup and not, you know, the whole night hasn't been mine. So I try to be as professional as possible, always be early, whether the whole night is mine or I'm part of lineup. But I cannot believe it. So sometimes the DJ, you know, after me has come to the venue late, and I've had to wait. I don't mind play. You know, I love to play. I don't mind to play a little bit longer. But you know what I mean? But that puts everybody else off. That knocks everybody's time in that lineup.
Yeah.
So just to DJs as well who are kind of listening, and I'm sure everybody wants to do very well and everything. Just don't be late for your slot. Be early, ready with your headphones and your USBs and things. Because, yes, I don't mind playing a little bit longer myself because I love what I do. But then it means the next one has to play a little bit later too, you know, because if you want to do your full hour. So, but there's been a couple occasions, and I thought that wasn't very professional either.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I've had a good old Wilksock charity music festival. I mean, running that stage, I've had DJs not turn up. Or
I can't believe how that even happens. It's just like, why would you even act in that way? I don't get it.
It's madness, especially because, you know, I mean, Wilksock's a very small festival, and I like to give DJs either.
It doesn't matter. If you commit to something, you are committed. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, I like to give people a first chance, or maybe it's their second festival, or they're new to the scene, and they don't turn up, and you're like, why have I wasted?
Well, you will never ever contact them again.
Yeah, they're out. That's it. Like, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
Because you actually, you know, you are very well connected with festivals, venues. You might give them other opportunities if they did really well in Wilkstock, for example. So it's like, you know what, you're dealing with Eliza over here and you let her down, then you are letting yourself down because you're potentially losing a lot of opportunities in the future.
Yeah, because I'd be honest if somebody messaged me and said, oh, how was such and such playing for you? And I'd be like, well, I never turned up. And they'd be like, right, okay, that's it, off the list.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, just, yeah, I don't understand that.
But, it is madness. You
know, it's kind of professional conduct that we are committed to. And if you kind of let people down, then that's your chance gone. I think that's it. It can be one time and you will never be able to gain that trust again.
No, you need to be the best version of you, you know, the best business version, the best happy version, the smiley version, polite version, on time version, everything, otherwise forget it. It's just stay DJing in your bedroom where you don't have to, like, you can turn up anytime.
That's it. It's so true. It's harsh but true. You know, there's so many DJs and you know, the competition is fierce. So you have to stay on top of the game. Yeah, very true.
So let's talk about your new track then, the disco track. How did this come about? Because obviously your house, which is amazing, House of Sire. How did the disco track come about? What made you think, do you know what? Today I'm gonna make a disco track.
So it's called Wait For You, and it's available in major platforms, if I can plug it just a little bit.
Go on. Yeah, well, we'll put a link in the show notes, and we'll add a link for everything else. But yeah, it's available everywhere, isn't it? You're on Beatport as well? Yeah,
Beatport and Amazon and, oh my goodness, all the major platforms. But I guess Beatport is the big one for DJs and, you know, general masses. But I become a little bit of a disco fan over the course of the pandemic because I've started to listen to a radio station called Centerforce. Do you know?
Okay. No, I don't, but I will check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's like a lot of disco. And I really got hooked on it. So I listen to it pretty much 24/7. They have old school, new school, everything in between, but it's disco mainly.
Yeah.
And I just got really hooked and I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is, I'm just so intrigued about this genre. And I've been so focused on tech house and a little bit harder house and things like that, that I still love, obviously, but I didn't really play disco before. So because it's softer and bouncier and things like that. But Centerforce, I have to say, got me into disco. And then I thought, you know what, maybe I should try and produce a disco track. I never done that.
Yeah.
That's how the process started. So I was listening to a lot of my now favorite DJs in Centerforce, and I kind of listened to their tracks and studied them and how they structure the tracks and how kind of what's the disco formula, so to speak. So I studied that for a while. So it didn't just come about. It took me quite a while to do it, actually. And then I went into Logic. I went to Loop Cloud to look for disco loops, and I bought some sample packs from Moose T. Who else did I buy sample packs from? A Purple Disco Machine.
Oh my God, I love Purple Disco Machine.
Yeah, me
such
too.
Fan, like, so good. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so I bought their sample packs and stuff like that. So I got a lot of inspiration from what they, you know, obviously what they have done and what's their vibe and things like that. So and then, it took me hours and hours and hours and hours to do.
Hours.
Like, it took me ages. Yeah. But, it's a start. Now I'm going to do another disco track because I'm inspired by this. So hopefully that will be even better than this one. So this is just the start. But, hopefully, you know, guys and girls will like it.
This is the start of your disco world domination, basically, isn't it? Watch out.
Yeah, I even, you know what I've done? I even bought glittery Christmas hats for myself and my family and friends, because I was like, I'm so into disco now. Everything needs to be glitter. It needs to be glitter everywhere. So I have like lots of glittery stuff coming. Yeah.
Oh my God, mate. Poor Adam. Hello, Adam. Hope you're well.
Yeah, Adam has one. Yeah, I've ordered him a glittery Christmas hat, and Naomi will have one. And
yeah.
I'm like, it's all about glitter and disco now.
That's God, that's it. You'll be like out with the sassy wardrobe, in with the flares and big platform cheers, disco baby. You'll be roller skating around Hertfordshire.
I am. I'm like full on disco person. Yeah. I have to, you know, kind of display it as well, don't I now?
So, oh my god, mate. Watch this space. I can't wait. So you decided to self-release, which is interesting, which is a thing now. Everybody seems to be self-releasing or contemplating self-releasing because the world had such a shortage of music in lockdown randomly, didn't it? Because everybody had nothing else to do and they were like, oh well, we're just gonna listen to music all the time. So loads of people were self-releasing.
Yeah.
How did this come about? So talk to me about this, because I know, I'm not sure everybody knows, but you are I Am The Music. So this is what you guys set up. So talk to us about that and the self-releasing.
Yeah. So I thought I'll take a different route, because obviously I'm part of two record labels with my previous tracks.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have been great in terms of teaching me how the process works, into how record label works, how the release process works, how the royalties work, and you know, how to get in connected with all the platforms that can release your music and things like that. So I'm really grateful for them, and I'm still obviously part of their record labels, but this time I thought, well, you know, we have I Am The Music, who organizes events and festivals and so forth, so let's turn that into a record label and learn the ropes ourselves as well, now that I have all that experience from the other record labels that took me under their wing.
Thank you very much.
exactly. So I thought, let's do it and see how it goes, because I have marketing experience as well. So now, and it was just interesting process to go through setting up a record label and then getting connected with all the platforms and releasing yourself. And then I know, obviously, that I can, get all the royalties myself. it's interesting process. And then, what was I going to say? Then I can market the release. There's no restrictions. I'm not binded by any contracts or any restrictions in terms of if I did want to release with other labels as well, so I could.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you're part of a label, then you're tied into a contract and there might be a lot of clauses. There might be a lot of things that you cannot do.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more free in terms of self-releasing or starting your own record label, because you can set the rules yourself. So you're not restricted to anything. So I thought, well, let's see how it goes. And if there's, you know, big waves that I can make on my own, or if I need support from other labels, I don't know, yet to be seen. But nevertheless, just another route to take, another just something where I can be my own boss, I guess, again.
Oh god, mate, that's so interesting. And and well done you. And I think you may have just given yourself a little bit more work, but
don't we do that, Eliza, all the time? We're like, we'll do that, and oh yeah, that's a great idea, let's do that.
And then you're like, oh my god, I've just got to work out the time for this.
Where can I buy more hours, you know? But we're like this because we are hyperactive and we get stuff done, don't we? You know, I was gonna say we get shit done, but we get stuff done, so you know,
we get shit done, we do. And actually, you talk about buying some more hours. I was listening to a podcast recently, it was just some random yoga podcast randomly about, I say random lots of time, random. It's my friend's podcast, Digital Yoga Academy. So it's not just some podcast, and she was talking about the number of hours in the day, and we all have the same 8 hours.
Yeah.
And this really resonated with me. And I was like, oh yeah, we do, because I'm always scrapping around thinking, oh, I've not got time, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. And then I was like, I should just get up earlier. Just do it, or try to work more at night. But then you do need relaxing time as well. But we have the same 8 hours. Anybody that is, you know, ahead of their game, or I don't know, however you want to measure it, they've still got the same 8 hours that you've got. So what do you do with those 8 hours that, you know, is different to what they do with it? And how, you know, make yourself a little bit more productive, a little less time on your phone, you know, a little
social media,
Netflix, social media. So if you cut back or maybe even get up half an hour earlier. I mean, I'm not really a morning person, but when you do that, it's amazing what you can get done before lunchtime.
It is. Like, just get really organized. I try to be super organized. And then also ask for help. You know, that's why there's your amazing initiative and collective and this tribe that we have. You don't have to do it all on your own. Like, I have people who support me and help me with different tasks and things like that. So I'm not doing this on my own completely. Yeah, when I go DJing, of course I do it on my own, but I might have someone helping with, you know, my family life or my other stuff, or you know, so you can delegate some stuff as well and get people to help you and have that support network, so you don't actually have to, you know, break that much sweat all the time.
Yeah. I think also
it's okay to ask for help in some cases.
We're just so bad at.
Yeah.
Bad and good at the same time. But I think it's interesting actually, because if I think it's important to say, you know, if you do need help, to ask for it or outsource it. So you might not be great at, like, say a lot of people have gone down the streaming route, or maybe they want to change their artwork or their website. It's okay for you to not be able to do that or have the time to dedicate to work it out. You know, when you could, you obviously have to pay somebody, or you might have a friend, you could do a trade, some DJ lessons for a new website or something along those lines. But it's always good to, you know, ask somebody a little bit more professional than you in that particular aspect or area, and to get the end result, basically.
Yeah, and then because you specialize in your thing, so I specialize in making music and being a good DJ. I can't do a website, you know. I would ask Adam to do it, or you know, if I need flyers done, or yes, I would outsource it, you know, favor for favor. Oh, I'm really happy to pay for it. And this is why we have to think about ourselves as business. So as soon as we are business, we have overheads. Yeah. So we need to make sure when we go gigging or we sell our music, we make enough money to cover those overheads.
Yeah.
You know, so we charge in the right way. Our hourly rate is the right one, or gig, you know, lump sum, whatever it is. So all of these things go together, and we have to think about how much money is coming in versus how much money can I spend in order to improve my artist profile, my website, my EPK, my blah, this and that and the other, my marketing.
Yeah.
Then we have to think about, you know, the money side and have a little Excel file where we can put the numbers in.
Oh, I love a spreadsheet. And it's really important, because I think if, you know, especially if you're starting out as a DJ, and there will be those months where, oh my God, this subscription has come out, or, you know, it could be Canva, Audio Boom, it could be Logic, it could be anything, you know, they're all going to come out roughly at the same time. Every year, roughly at the same time, or every month, and it can be a bit of a shock. So you need to have that spreadsheet down. You need to have your dates.
Everything.
Oh my God, put it in your Google Calendar, and then make sure as well, when you're invoicing correctly, that you know what's coming in every month, and make a spreadsheet for your invoices. That's what I do, and then I know exactly who's paid, who hasn't paid, you know, what the hourly rate is, and then what's covered for the whatever's going out, which is just normal business stuff. But not everybody's that way inclined, are they?
I think definitely not enough tracking being done. Like, I know quite a few who just go to a gig, you know, they get paid and don't think more of it.
Yeah.
But I come, you know, I come home, I fill in my spreadsheet, you know, I have, you know, all the gigs, all the venues, how much they pay, then how much do I pay for my production,
tax
oh my God, let's not even get out the tax. And you know, all these you know, sample packs that I buy, or like, I record everything, so then I can see my profit and loss sheet. You know, I can see which direction are we going here. You know, do I need to make adjustments, or do I need to put my rates up, or do I need to cut down somewhere, or, you know, can I find cheaper suppliers for this and that and the other. So yes, it is like business. You have to have your little accounts department, you know.
and I mean,
otherwise you lose control very quickly and you don't know what happened to your money.
Oh my God, exactly. And these sample packs and things like that, they cost, before you know it, you've spent quite a bit of money, and you know, that's got to come from somewhere, hasn't it? And you know, I mean, with the cost of living, cost of fuel, cost of transport, cost of everything has gone up. So if you need to, you know, put your DJ rates up, that's okay. And is, people yeah. will understand, as opposed to being like, oh, I don't, you know, will they
pay
me?
Or you can at least ask. Whatever. I think yeah. I've said that to a few of my venues, and I've said, well, another year has gone by, and, you know, inflation is at this level and that level, and there's overheads again, and, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm saying, well, I have to put my rate up, and, you know, just it's not a bad discussion. I know it's difficult to discuss about money, but you know what? It's again, being professional. So it's nothing like, oh, to be shy about. And they know, they understand it. This is a business discussion and negotiation. I have to put my rate up. Are you happy with it? If you're not, then that's fine. And if you are happy with it, then yay, we are both happy. You know, and sometimes if it's not the thing, then you might move on to another venue who will match your rate and who will appreciate your craft and you know, your skills.
And of course you've got to remember as well, like the venues, like for example, if you're playing in a bar or a nightclub, they will put their drinks prices up every year.
Of course
they will pay their other staff with inflation as that goes up every year as well. So there's no reason as a DJ, I think it's a real gray area, isn't it, music, to whether to how much you get paid and what's expected of you money wise and that money chat is always difficult, and we only make that difficult for ourselves because it doesn't have to be difficult. It can just be, it's like being prudish. Like, it's a weird, people are like, oh, don't talk about money. And it's like, what? Why? Why can't we talk about money? It's important.
It is so important because this is your livelihood. You know, this is, you have to make the ends meet. And, you know, these businesses will understand it. So it's your fault if you don't talk about it. Then it's your own fault. Because many times when I've said, oh, I need to increase my hourly rate or my gig rate, whatever it is, my retainer, you know, they've actually said, completely understand. Yes, another year has gone by. It's fine. You know, but if you don't bring it up, they are not going to bring it up. You are the business. You are the ones, you know, providing the service. So you have to be brave enough to bring it up. And if you don't, then it's your own fault that you didn't. And you could have been paid much more like years ago.
No, it's interesting. And I don't mind talking about money at all. So if anybody's listening to the podcast and they want to chat about what they feel they should be getting paid or not getting paid, hit me up, because I had a lovely lady DM me and asked me some advice about how much she should charge for a particular venue, particular number of hours, and what would have done. And I just gave her some honest advice. I mean, obviously everybody's different and it really depends on how many years you've been doing this. But it's important to ask for help, ask advice. And if you don't actually breach the subject with the venue, then you've got no chance. And you just got to suck it up then, in which case it's your own fault.
Well, this is it. Oh, it's fine. I think we're just, I guess this money discussion, it has like a stigma to it, but it's time to let it go. And you know, the venues are usually, if they love you, they know you're delivering great music and people are staying, buying those drinks that have been you know, increased in price, then they know you are worth it. You are worth it. They want to keep you, they don't want to lose you. So they will give you a pay rise, so to speak. So just be brave enough to ask for one.
Yeah, that's it. So what's on the cards for you? I mean, we're rolling into Christmas soon, aren't we? Do I dare say the Xmas word?
Oh no, Mariah Carey is coming.
Yeah, she's on the horizon. I take it you're gigging all the way through and New Year's Eve. Do you work New Year's Eve as well, or do you go out? What's happening for you this year?
Yeah, I'm gigging pretty much every weekend. I'll try to take a couple of weekends for my family and friends as well, so they don't completely forget me. I don't have to force them to come to my gigs, you know.
Yeah.
But, I'm gigging, especially in the beginning of the, you know, now, what is it now? November.
November,
lots of gigs. And then obviously the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks of December, which is the festive season, so lots of gigs then as well. And I'm not good. Christmas Eve probably, but not Christmas Day or anything like that. I know there's lots of gigs nowadays for Christmas Day, but I'm gonna dedicate that to family completely. New Year's Eve, actually I've got some requests, but I haven't said yes yet, because I am thinking I might because I have been gigging every New Year's Eve for years, ever. Except obviously, yeah. So
from last year, yeah.
Yeah. So I might, I'm not sure yet, but I think I will spend it with the family actually this time. Yeah.
Take it off. Yeah, because it's not always about the money, is it? Especially, I mean, you've got your own business anyway. So it has to be, I think it's important. I normally take that whole Christmas. I might do a, say, for example, a Christmas Eve, but I would normally take that whole week off, and then obviously New Year's Eve for sure. But actually with the whole COVID situation and having to have Christmas and New Year's Eve off last year, it was amazing. I can't remember the last time I didn't have to get in at like 4 a.m. but then Christmas Day.
But this is the same, you and me the same, because it was the first time in years that I've done it. I was home and I was like, oh, I kind of like this. Mm. Oh, this was nice. Maybe I'll do another year, and then next year I can go back to gigging, because there's always obviously venues and parties that need a DJ, and I have good connections and I know they will want me back, so that's, I'm not going to lose out on anything. And I thought, I don't know, pandemic has changed me in some ways, and like you say, I don't need to say yes to everything, don't need to gig every weekend, because I do want maybe more of that family time sometimes too, and I know I can still have good quality gigs and I can still make money and have fun and be happy at what I'm doing, but not have to do it every single weekend. So I might just have New Year's Eve off.
So
a party exciting. Myself, you know, and have some bubbles,
a house party.
Exactly.
It's it's funny, isn't it? I think because obviously being in a ski resort over here, everybody works most of the way through from beginning of December till April. So all of my friends and their families who normally would have a restaurant or a venue or a bar or a nightclub, they had Christmas and obviously Christmas and New Year's Eve off. And they were like, this is so novel. You know, probably the last 20, 30 years of their life, have they ever had it off? Like, so... Yeah. And it's important. It is important.
It is important. It is a revelation, like how it feels. And, you know, you're like, well, maybe I do this every second year.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And then do a, like a little balance of family and gigging and doing what you love. And maybe that's something I'm going to do.
Exciting. Watch this space. It is. So just to come back to your new track then, what is the best way to find out where it is? Is there a link in your Insta bio, or is it just look for you on Beatport? How do we find this new amazing disco track of yours?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so it's, I think actually the most central place to go to is my website,
perfect,
which is www.houseofsaya.com.
Yeah.
And there's navigation for music. So there's all my other releases as well. Yeah. Including the new one, so there's all the links there, and then obviously my social media, everything is in my website in one
perfect
place if you're interested to follow what I do, you know, on a weekly basis.
Follow, like, share.
Yeah, and see my glittery outfits.
Oh my god, yeah, I can't wait. Well, mate, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. It's always a pleasure to just chat to you, hang out with you, like hear what it's inspiring.
Oh, I know. I love this. Thank you for having me. And I love to chat to you as well. And I cannot wait to come to France and Morzine and do a few gigs with you, have a boogie.
Yeah. Because this will be the third, this will be third year, won't it? If, well, three, well, I say 3 years running. Let's forget last year, but
We don't count it.
Forget it. Like, gone. To me, dead to me. So this will be like the third year, won't it? So third year, clubs only tour, me and you, partying, dance moves. Bring it on. Watch
out. Oh my god, yeah, Morzine will be like never be the same again. It will be, oh yeah, I did get some people, because there's this group who always messages me on Instagram, and they were in Morzine in Le Tremplin
when
we were playing. And they just messaged me this week actually saying, are you coming this year and you will play with Lady Eliza? And I said, I hope so. Or maybe not this year now, but next year, you know. And it's the same group. And they message me on Instagram every year. They're like, okay, we are going. We are there this week. And I was like, oh, this is nice.
Well, book some dates. Yeah, book some dates. Let's make this happen. We'll book some dates in next week. Let's make this happen.
Yeah. Oh, we will. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to look at dates now after this podcast. Yeah.
Right, well, thanks again for coming on, mate, and we will catch up with, well, I will see you next year, in which case for some partying. And if anyone wants to find out what you're up to, go to your website and we're rocking and rolling.
Amazing. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thank you.
See you soon.